Six mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:04 the time. Hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Wednesday, April 8th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Hamm with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, they're located at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 56 degrees currently. It's going to get up to near 80 today. Mostly sunshine, a little bit of clouds tonight, low of 55. Mostly cloudy, but the weather looks spectacular for the rest of the week into the weekend, with temperatures climbing to around the mid-80s by Sunday, and a lot of sunshine, rain not even in the forecast until early to mid next week. By the way, I was just looking at that brawl again. I think you're underselling Soler. I don't think they were like girlish swings. They were pretty good. If he made contact with Lopez, he would have dropped him.
Yeah, but he had no chance of making contact.
Well, he kept backing up.
He's like, it was the wild swing that had no chance.
Man. No look chance. At it again. He was coming at him, and Lopez was dancing. He was doing the trot, the foxtrot in the back, going backwards, because he didn't want any part of Soler. If you missed that, that was the Angels and the Braves had a little brouhaha last night out on the West Coast. So the final AP Top 25 poll came out yesterday, and obviously it was Michigan reigning supreme at number one with all 57 votes. UConn second, Arizona third, Duke fourth, Illinois fifth, Purdue sixth, Houston seventh, Iowa State. Then Florida is the first SEC team at number nine. St. John's rounds out the top 10. Michigan State 11th. Tennessee ends up 12th. Arkansas 13th. Then Nebraska 14th. Iowa 15th. Alabama, the fourth SEC team, gets in at 16. Virginia 17th. Gonzaga 18th. Vanderbilt makes it 5 SEC. They get in at number 19. Kansas 20th. Texas Tech 21st. Then Texas, another SEC team, in at 22. Louisville, 23. Miami, what a job Jay Lucas did at 24. And Wisconsin rounds out the top 25. So, all in all, good showing for the SEC. Six teams make it into the top 25. But the Big Ten reigns supreme, with Michigan winning the title. After the game, and I guess subsequent interviews after the championship was won, they were talking to Yaxel Lendeborg, and he said that this will go down as the best team in program history, including the famed Fab Five freshman teams that reached the NCAA title game in 92 and 93. He said, I think we are, man. I'm waiting for the Fab Five to give us the approval. But if they do, then I'll let it be said that we're the best team ever. Jay Hamm, Mr. Historian, who would win, the Fab Five or this Michigan Five?
Fab Five not even getting ranked over the 89 squad.
Yeah, they didn't win a championship.
You got to win a championship to be the best, you know?
Well, yeah, but sometimes, not always does, you could be the best and not win a championship. Things can happen along the way.
Yeah, but when you have champions that are there,
yeah,
I can't rank them above the champions that are there.
So how would you, I'm just thinking about the matchups. The Fab Five, obviously Weber was an incredible player. Howard.
The Fab Five may win the game if they were to play the
game. Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah, they will probably win the game.
Well, I'm just wondering, though, with Mara and Johnson and even Lendeborg, the way they can control defensively the inside, how tough would it have been for C-Webb and Howard?
Elliot Cadeau is going to get eaten alive. He has to deal with a 6'8 Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose, yeah. and that's where it starts with the point guard.
Jimmy King, being as athletic as he was, the same as Ray at 6'4. But I think the
Cadeau
interior,
would guard Jackson.
He would have to. Yeah, they would have to probably bring in Trey McKinney to put in on Jalen, but
I just think a lot of their shots would get blocked or altered at the rim.
I mean, Jamal. I mean,
I think Lendeborg would actually guard Jalen Rose.
He probably would have to. I mean, but then when they go in the interior, granted, you have the size with Barber and Johnson and those guys, but Weber and Howard were skilled technicians.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Just look at what they did in the NBA.
Yeah.
You so you would give the Fab Five?
I get a Fab Five.
You think they would win that game?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't argue with that. I mean, they were special, but you're right. Came up short. Doesn't always mean, again, the great teams out there, they don't always win the natty. Something happens.
And then for them to be able to do what they did, of course, as 19 and 20-year-old men, freshmen to sophomores, that's just insane.
And so,
do you think when Lindenborg said that Chris Webber was like, wait, timeout?
I did see a tweet that Juwan pretty much just, you know, gave him, like, the love, like, great job. He didn't say that they were the greatest, but he acknowledged that they were the champions.
Well, they could say at least this group, they went farther.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, they didn't have the pressure that the Fab Five had.
This is true.
My gosh. Everywhere they went.
Even that first year when they were just the sixth seed, you know, they were pretty much the underdog, but their popularity made them the favorite. In that sense. And then in 93, they were expected to win.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the timeout situation, just from the old classic NCAA title game that just came down to that, which two great teams, you know, that night. But what they were able to do just as freshmen and sophomores is insane. And we haven't seen anything like that really since.
No, you're right. Okay, so today is the par three contest at Augusta National. Tomorrow, the Masters begins. We had Mickey Barker on yesterday, and we talked about the players that should be there at the top. And certainly it's the usual cast of characters. But statistically, Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world, not the type of numbers that he's put up the last several years. Rory, the defending champion, I just don't think Rory – he's probably so – hyped and excited about being the defending champion, which means he could play looser. He has certainly the skills. I don't know if I'd pick him. I am really looking at DeChambeau. Even with the back nine collapse last year, I think that he has a great chance. But Eli, what about some of the other names that we should be looking at for the Masters and people maybe making some bets today and getting ready for tomorrow's first round?
Well, a couple of names that I know a lot of people like and that I like, for sure. I talked last week with Steve Sands about, Bobby McIntyre, who played well again over the weekend and certainly had a chance to win, but I think he has a chance.
And he's a lefty. Lefties do well there.
Matthew Fitzpatrick, who, a lot of people like. I think he 100% with the golf that he has been playing. He has a chance to win this as well. You know, those are two guys that I will tell you that I will be placing money on. I know that much. Although I want Scottie Scheffler to win because months ago I had a Michigan Scottie Scheffler parlay. I have a Michigan Scottie Scheffler in the Dodgers parlay.
Really?
And I have a Michigan Scottie Scheffler. And what was the other one?
Costa Rica's men's national soccer team? Did you bet that one?
I have like four parlays with Michigan winning the national championship, and Scottie Scheffler is the next leg in a lot of the – and some of them don't include anything from the Masters, but like three of them include Scottie Scheffler. So I need Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters. Then I can start taking cash outs because then they'll start offering me, especially when I got like the Dodgers who are the favorite to win baseball. Like it's easier to do that.
I like that idea, though.
That's some innovative gambling, isn't it?
I like it.
He's thinking outside the box.
I think I may adopt everyone for myself.
So some of the notable tee times for day one, for tomorrow's first round. At 9:07 Central, Bryson DeChambeau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Scottie Scheffler. No, that's it's Schauffele. Schauffele, excuse me, not Scheffler. Schauffele, DeChambeau, Fitzpatrick. I love that group. 9:07 Central. 9:31, and they all go off one. It's a limited field, the Masters. 9:31 Central, Rory McIlroy, Cam Young, and they have one of the amateurs. And I forget which one it is. Kid from Georgia. So that group will play. 12:08, Chris Goddard, who's won four times already on the PGA Tour, and this is his first appearance at Augusta National. But we know with the first-timers, the late Fuzzy Zeller. That was it, right? Is he the only first-timer?
I believe so, yes.
John Rahm and Ludwig Oberg in that group with Goddard, 12-20. Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth. I like that one. And then Scheffler goes off at 12-44 with the aforementioned Robert McIntyre and Gary Woodland. Gary Woodland obviously is a great story. Winning in Houston, coming back from brain surgery. But did you read the story about security and I don't know if it's paranoia about – did you read the story about Gary Woodland?
Yeah, we talked about it. What do you want? He has PTSD. Like, he's like, yes, that's
– But I didn't know the PTSD meant that he thought, like, people were after him. They're trying to kill him.
He's got a lot of issues.
I mean, so he had to have them – the security at Augusta National – not that people are going after Gary Woodland, but in his mind they are – show them where the security would be when he tees off, like, at every hole. Like, because there's so many people and there's rows and rows and rows of the patrons, the gallery, and he wants to know where security is. That's wild stuff, man. The brain is a funky thing.
He is an amazing story. The fact that he's been able that he was able to win a golf tournament is just crazy, quite frankly, that he's able to mentally do that over 4 days. It's truly unbelievable. It's a great story. I love to see Gary Woodland in contention playing well at the Masters. It would be fantastic.
That's like an ESPY award type story for him to come back and win like he did, but it would be just amazing if he did it at the Masters or another major tournament. Of course, he is a major winner. So we got a while before the best golfers in the world come to Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude Championship, which once again will be the second playoff event in 2026. And we'll see what happens. The expectation is that it will move out of that position.
Be the first.
Is the first playoff event?
Yeah.
I thought it was the second. Oh, no. You're right. It's the first one. But Steve Sands told us, not when he was on with us last week, but the previous time, that he expects them to move into a spring schedule out of the playoff and more than likely not happen in 2027, but in 2028. Nothing yet official. But for this year, again, it's in August. And I saw this yesterday, and I thought this was really cool. For those who have not seen this, this is an email we got. The FedEx St. Jude Championship will introduce a Grounds Plus ticket, which includes food and beverage. Now, this is a really cool thing because if it's the same way it was for when I went to the PGA Championship. Now, we were in the clubhouse and we got to eat some great food and all that. But for the patrons that were there, they all had the access to this. Now, I don't know how much it costs, but the Grounds Plus program is designed to provide a more seamless and affordable fan experience with market-style concession stations that offer unlimited access to classic favorites with specialty items and alcoholic beverages remaining available for purchase. But the regular drinks, the soft drinks, the iced teas, the lemonades, and the food that they provide, the hamburgers, the hot dogs, whatever it is, there's just different areas along the course that you go in. You go into the tent, and you just walk through, and you obviously have to show your plus badge or whatever it is, and you just pick up the food and you move on, and you can do it as much as you want throughout the day. It is a really cool thing. Again, I saw it at the PGA Championship. I believe this is the very first time that it will be offered at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So look that up, find out more information about that. Now, it says through the tournament's youth ticket policy, each ticketed adult may bring up to 2 kids 15 and under for free with full access to the Grounds Plus program, including the complimentary food and non-alcoholic beverages. Military tickets in partnership with Big River Steel will be available at a later date. Will also include full access to the Grounds Plus program. So buy an adult ticket. You get the 2 children under 15 and you're all eaten under the Plus program. So all that food for free. I mean, you cannot beat that right now. That is absolutely tremendous for the folks that will be heading to TPC Southwind in August.
Yeah, it's a cool thing they're doing. I still don't. I don't know how they monitor it? Like, what stops somebody from coming in, grabbing the food and drink, and taking out somebody that doesn't have that ticket? I don't know. I don't. I'm sure there's some way to monitor that, but I don't know.
Well, it says, if I remember this correctly, because we went through it just to see it, because we had access to that as well, but we'd already eaten. But you go through, and it says, take one, like the drinks, take one. And like there's a sign, and then you get to the burgers or hot dogs, says take one of those. And then there's chips and stuff, and you take one of those, and then you walk out, and there's people there, but you don't have to go through a cash register or all that, but they see that you have a hot dog, a soda, and a chip. If you walk out of there and you got 8 hot dogs in your hand, they're going to stop you.
Well, no, I understand that, but like, what stops me from going and handing those to somebody?
Nothing.
And then going right back in?
Nothing.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a little weird to me. Like, I just... There's got to be some monitoring to that, or why wouldn't me and a group of my friends say, we'll buy one of these tickets?
Well, you cheapskates, first of all. Stop stealing from people. And number two, no, I mean, they might eventually figure you out when Eli's made the circle 8 times with the same food. I don't know. I guess the honor system. That's all I could think of. And, of course, people... Who cares about the honor system?
Count on that.
I mean, he makes an interesting point. He makes an interesting point, but I just think this moves along everything. You know, you're not in a line. You're not missing the golf. You grab a dog running there. You want to grab a lemonade. You grab a lemonade. It really was cool at the PGA Championship how they did it. And there were so many different stations. I don't know how many they'll have at Southwind, but I think this is a great addition. And I imagine this is happening at a lot of tournaments, I would think. You charge more for the ticket, but man, and I don't know if it's only in Memphis where you get the 2 15 and under children's tickets free with the plus, meaning the food and the beverages for free. That's just an absolutely great deal. It's also a great deal when you go over to Corky's because they got a lunch special every single day. They got party packs that start at just $7.49 for that delicious slow smoked barbecue. They've been serving it up for 40 years. They've been catering that entire time as well. You got an event coming up, you want it catered, let Corky's do it for you. They'll set it up, they'll tear it down. You won't have to worry about a thing, just enjoying that delicious barbecue. They'll start you out as low as $7.99 per person. You can dine in at any of their 4 locations. You can go through the no-contact drive-through and have any of the services delivered to your home or office. Have Corky's deliver. I think it's a set price at $3.99 per person for that delicious barbecue. They got an award-winning catfish plate. They got burgers and tamales, all types of great starters and desserts as well. Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, Goodman Road in Olive Branch. And oh, by the way, at the Cordova and the Olive Branch locations, they have a real cool private party room. You have a birthday celebration that you want to have fun with and you want to go somewhere, or an anniversary, or a little, maybe a little league team and you want to get together and have a celebration. You just want a championship, whatever the case may be. You can reserve the private party room at either of those two Corky's locations. Just contact them for more information. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. We're going to talk some portal, some transfer news when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
I was talking with Briarcrest head coach, boys basketball coach John Harrington yesterday. They are going to move Fred Smith's announcement to Thursday, so tomorrow. It's originally scheduled for today, but because of some logistics, it'll be tomorrow afternoon. Fred Smith will announce, and we'll see where he'll be playing his college ball, at least for year number one. Memphis certainly in the mix, but nobody knows for sure right now. Speaking of Memphis, obviously a lot to fill as far as roster spots are concerned for Coach Penny Hardaway and the new GM Gabriel Harris and the new assistant coaches. This was interesting. Our buddy John Varlasul will join us on Fridays. He does every week tweeted this out. He's a big fan of Jordan Friesen, local product, who played at Chattanooga this past year. Averaged 16.4 points per game, 4 assists, 3.3 rebounds, and shot 55.6% from the field. There's a story out there about teams that have inquired about Friesen, who is in the portal. And I thought Memphis had interest in him from things that I read. But on this list, they do not mention Memphis. Could be just an omission. But some of the schools on this list include Indiana, Missouri, Xavier, Seton Hall, High Point, George Mason, Tulsa, Dayton, South Florida, Temple, Wichita State, and Liberty. So a number of American Conference teams on that list. But again, could be just an omission there. I thought that Friesen's name had popped up and things that maybe Jason Munns wrote about in the commercial appeal. I could be wrong about that, though. Good player.
I think people have just
assumed
it because he's from here that there would be that interest, but I don't know if there actually is or not.
Yeah, that could be it. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Duke's Nick Kamenya, 6'8 wing, top 15 recruit in the class of 25, key rotation player this season, will enter the transfer portal. Averaged 5.7 points in 20 minutes. They say there'll be a lot of power conference schools that will be looking at him. I mean, the portal continues to explode, over 1,600 since yesterday, and that number will only grow. But people got to realize, again, that it's a two-week period for players to enter the portal. That doesn't mean that all those players are going to be signing with their new teams during that two-week period. Because once that period's over, then those players are in the portal, teams can sign. It could be in May. It could be in June if somebody's still lingering in the portal. It could be in July, in August. So the news, while there is a lot of news that will come for Memphis, doesn't mean it's all going to come in a matter of a 48 or 72-hour period.
No, I mean, I'm sure a lot of the top players that will get done very quickly because they've already got it done for the most part, their agents. But teams are having to figure out of piecing together how it works best for them budget-wise and these negotiations. I mean, there's a lot of really good players in the portal that, you know, everybody in the country basically will be interested in those players. So there's a lot to be figured out and pieces to be put together with these rosters. But yeah, I mean, there'll be some that never come out of the portal. they'll be stuck in the portal forever. When you're talking about however many there'll end up being, total in the portal. I mean, that's just the way it is.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think it's fascinating. I would love to know how they do this because even though they have some time, they're battling all the other schools that may be interested in a particular player. And how do you decide, okay, we're going to offer this much to this guy, but we'll only have this much left to offer this guy? Well, how about if you are denied the first guy and you undervalued that second guy? You know what I'm saying? Because you thought you were going to get that first guy. It's really mind-boggling to figure out the financial ramifications of things because you are at a salary cap. It's just your own salary cap. It's not a mandated salary cap. You have $3.5 million, or you have $4 million, or you have $2 million, or $5 million, whatever the school has to be able to spend. And it's just not this endless amount of money but that you can just pull from.
Again, there will be that's not all done right away because it's just like free agency in any sport. The top guys make their decision.
Right. Now, trickle-down effect.
The team here that missed out on the top guy now goes, okay, well, now we have more money we can spend on this guy because we're not spending it on that guy. And that guy didn't want to sign early because he wanted to wait to see if that team might end up with more money available for him.
Right.
And then after he signed, it just keeps going down. And then, again, you're trying to also, all right, if we do get that center – is that center and this point guard better, or that point guard and this center, which are spending the money a little differently, but is it a better combination for us? And those are the things that have to be figured out and decided and all of that stuff. But, you know, like, you know, ESPN has their list of the top
20. Yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
Now, there's this was updated as of yesterday afternoon. And I don't know, like, PJ Haggerty's not on their list of the top 20. I don't know if he was officially in the portal yet as of 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
I think he was, because we talked about it on the show.
He's been known that he's going to go in the portal for a long time. I don't know if he was officially
okay
in the portal.
Yeah,
maybe he won't be. I don't know if he'll be. I would assume he would be on their top 20 list. You know, like Robert Wright is not on here. I assume he's probably a guy that will be a top 20 guy, but he didn't go into the portal till today or this morning. I guess it was, I don't know when he officially went in. So those lists, but you know, Flory Badunga from Kansas and John Blackwell from Wisconsin and Juke Harris from Wake Forest and these guys, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of schools waiting on their decisions before they know what they have to spend on numbers 8, 9, 10, and 11, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like free agency in any sport. We got to let these first guys decide, and then everybody kind of knows where they go.
He said the portal drew 2,100 players, around 2,100 players in 24, and 2,700 last year. Most coaches expect this season's portal entrance to surpass the 3,000 mark. 3,000 players in the portal. Yeah, this list you're looking at, which again hasn't been completely updated, I think there's three players from non-power conference schools, and I'm including the West Coast Conference with St. Mary's. There's a St. Mary's player that's in the top 20, and I include the Big East, obviously, as a power conference. Also, Caden Mingo, Penn State guard who averaged nearly 14 a game. He's in the portal. He has a brother, a five-star, and he's with North Carolina. He has yet to decommit. There's some thoughts that maybe – I'm sure Michael Malone's talking to him that he could decommit, and Dylan, the better prospect of the two Mingo brothers. It's absolutely crazy what's going on. Also with Memphis, we still don't know officially, but again, listening to Jason Munn's on with Wolo, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, that he believes that Bradshaw's ship has sailed from Memphis. But Bradshaw, I don't think has officially gone into the portal yet. And again, you have the 2-week period. You have up until the 21st to go into the portal. And then as far as signing players, whenever. You're not going to have the complete roster in 2 weeks.
Ross Dellinger has a new article talking about a change to the eligibility rules that apparently the NCAA is considering. They say you would have 5 full years of eligibility from either your 19th birthday or your high school graduation, whichever is the earliest. No waiver requests, no redshirts, no exceptions of any kind permitted, except for possible maternity leave, military service, or religious missions.
Now, who's brought this up?
The NCAA.
So they're countering what the presidential...
They've been doing this since before the executive order. He says they're going to review the proposal at their meeting next week. The timeline for approval remains unclear, likely weeks or months away. But it is considered an urgent matter, and there is a potential for implementation as soon as next academic year, so fall of this year, putting it in place. They would still have to decide on how they handle current athletes and how that would work, you know, grandfathering, I guess, or people that are in there, but just making it again, I don't know how that would handle stand up in court if challenged in any way, because God knows somebody will. But just, it's a simple thing. You've got 5 years from either your graduation or your 19th birthday. No questions asked. That's it.
So that would affect a lot of the Europeans, the international players that have already played and become professionals, and they're 21, 22 trying to come to the States.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they might get a year out of it.
They would have 5 years from their 19th birthday or their high school graduation.
I don't know if I like that.
Why? It makes it quite clear. Like, it's a very simple thing. Like, this is the deal. You got these 5 years to play college sports.
Well, what's the – how about if a kid – I don't know. This would be a rare thing, but kid played high school ball, didn't go to college, ends up – he's 25 years old, and now he's – really, like, he's playing ball,
But he got off to a late start.
He got off to a real late start. Like, you're telling me the kid shouldn't be allowed to go to college and play ball if he can do it?
No, at 25 years old, you're a grown man. No, you don't get to now go to college.
But you've never played. You've never been to college.
Well, you should have went.
How about those dudes that are 60 years old playing Division III football? Those guys, stories.
I went back to the 94 Arkansas team, and they had a 26-year-old coming off their bench who was a rifleman shooting a three by the name of Alex Dillard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dillard, yeah. So what's the – I don't understand. The age thing doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me at all.
Perception where it's like, you're 25, why are you still doing that? But like you said, you have people that have different circumstances in life, you know?
Right. You had to make money for your family and you had to do it for you.
Continue to do so. You don't get to play college sports.
I don't know about that. I like more of the – I don't like everything about the executive order, but I do like some things about it. I do like the fact that you get the one anytime transfer – and then after that, you have to be a grad student to transfer and play right away. You could transfer, but you'd have to sit out. Now, I would want them to also add in a caveat, which would be if the coach who recruited you leaves you at the doorstep, you can go anywhere and play immediately. That's what I would do.
Yeah, again, I think there's a lot of people that would like to do that. The problem is the courts generally won't support that. And so why make rules that you know are going to get beaten down in court?
Yeah, that's true.
And this, again, I don't know on something like this if that would hold up in the courts. Again, so I'm sure somebody along the way would probably challenge it to see if they could win. But making it just a simple blanket thing of you've got these 5 years, this is your time to play, to be eligible for college athletics, makes a whole lot of sense to me.
So yesterday it was reported, Dawn Staley talked about it, that Geno apologized to her. He called her. He said that I lost myself. And Dawn basically said publicly, let's just put this to bed now. Which we will do. But it took him a couple of days. He finally got his mind wrapped around the ass he was. And, you know, Dawn, I'm sure, accepted the apology, but I guarantee she's not forgetting. It's there. It's in the back of her mind. I don't think she likes him. I don't think he likes her. Whatever reason. He had, of course, his battles with Summit. With Pat Summit, the respect was there, the mutual respect as coaches, but not, I think, the respect as a human being for whatever reason. I mean, because not coming from the one side, but certainly with Geno, he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy to figure out, and I can understand he rubs people the wrong way, and certainly he was in the wrong here. But I think after what they said yesterday, you move on, just like you move on in life with anything.
Yeah, I would think so. At some point, you have to. But
from the NFL, the draft is coming up in just a couple of weeks. I'm excited about that. Yesterday, Fernando Mendoza, and I'm not sure if he announced this or just information came out, he will not be attending the NFL draft, which will take place in Pittsburgh. He's going to be at home in Miami with his family. His mother's battling, what is it? Is it ALS?
Or I'm not sure.
Some affliction, but she, it's hard for her to get around. And we've seen her at the games and the playoffs and the national championship game, and lovely woman, beautiful woman. And she, and they're going to be at home. They're going to be with the family. So it's understandable. He will be the first number one player overall chosen in the NFL draft that wasn't at the locale of the draft since Trevor Lawrence of Jacksonville back in, I don't know what year it was, but it's an oddity. It's a rarity for the number one guy overall not to be at the draft, but it's completely understandable. Wants to be with the family. There'll be some other players, certainly, that will not be there for whatever reasons, but this is the number one overall. Pittsburgh on the clock, and I'm sure they'll do a great job as that draft. Once Radio City Music Hall in New York had the scheduling conflict the one year, maybe with the Rockettes, I don't know, maybe I'm making that up, and they couldn't have the draft there, and they moved it, that's when it was like, light bulb, let's move it to different cities, and it has been unreal. I am one, and we talk about this every year, I love the draft. Now, if I got something to do, I can't, if I'm home, I'm watching the draft. I'm watching like the sixth round. I'm looking at the ticker every second to see who's, a Memphis kid got picked. There's a chance a couple of Memphis players will get picked this year. A couple of linemen more than likely. But I just love the fact that we have it. And we have it, and it's become as big as it has. I know some people, the draft is not their cup of tea. For me, it has always been.
Over at East Coast Wings and Grill, they are doing special things throughout the week for various people, depending on what line of work you are in. Today being Wednesday, it's Essential Worker Wednesday. Construction workers, electricians, plumbers, HVAC contractors, 20% off for you on Wednesdays over at East Coast Wings and Grill. Of course, also on Wednesday in the afternoon, starting at 3 o'clock until close, kids eat free. Kids 10 and under get eat free with the purchase of an adult entree. That's over at East Coast Wings and Grill. Tomorrow, Thursday, is Healthcare Thursday for doctors, nurses, EMTs, medical staff. First Responder Friday as well. 20% off your tab, and they've got something every day of the week. I'm trying to talk to them. They haven't done Radio Announcer Day. I'm a little disappointed. I got to talk to them. I don't know where we fall in here. I got to talk to them.
Apparently low on the totem pole.
I'm not sure where we fall in which one of these groups. I know we are not in healthcare, and I know we're not first responder. I feel like we're essential workers. I think we're essential workers. I'm going to go on essential workers.
If we put a smile on people's faces every day, then we are essential.
You know, they got Mechanical Monday. I'm pretty sure we don't fall under Mechanical Monday. So I don't know. I got to figure out what day we qualify for. But they've got something every day of the week, and that's 20% off your entire bill on those days if you qualify for that day. You can check them out. That's at East Coast Wings and Grill. Again, kids eat free today. They've got some live music coming up tonight as well. Of course, you've got Grizzlies in action. The Grizzlies game on, all the Major League Baseball games as well. Anything you want to watch, they've got it on over there at East Coast Wings and Grill, located in Bartlett, just off Highway 64, between Lowe's and Walmart there of Highway 64 in the Wolf Chase area. Great food, great place to watch all the action, and right now, great place to get discounts every day of the week, depending on what you do for a living. It's East Coast Wings and Grill.
We have one segment to go. We'll get to it right after this quick timeout. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:48 is the time. Final segment here on this hump day edition of Sports 56 Mornings. All right, Jay Ham, do you know what happened back on April 8th, 1974?
That's Hank Aaron Day, right?
You are absolutely correct. Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, 714 apiece. When Vin Scully made the call on, I think it was Monday Night Baseball, I was in Atlanta at the time with my family on the outskirts of Atlanta. The game was not blacked out. I watched Aaron hit 715. We were on our way to Disney World as a child. I will always remember that. So that's 26 and 26. That's 52 years ago today. How about that? Hank Aaron, number 715.
I mentioned that thing, the eligibility possibility from Ross Dellinger. And one of the things that he includes the article and points out, I guess, a lot of the lawsuits of guys come from them being denied a waiver request.
Mm-hmm.
With this, there are no waiver requests. There's no waiver. You have 5 years. There's no questions asked, nothing. You have from this time, you have 5 years. You'd ask for a waiver for anything. There is no such thing as a waiver. So maybe that again, somebody will find a way to challenge this in court, I'm sure. But if you remove the waivers, you don't have to worry about the denial of the waiver then being challenged in court because there are no waivers to begin with.
Yeah, but some waivers make sense. Other waivers, they're just trying to find something. Man, when a guy has an injury, a debilitating injury that keeps him out a couple of years and then he can come back and play and you're denying that opportunity, I don't like that. I really don't.
Not denying that after he's got a 5-year window to do it.
But again, you don't know how long an injury may last or an illness. Guy gets sick. He has cancer. He battles cancer for 3 years. Now he's trying to come back and make it. And you say, the eligibility window ran out. You can't play college ball. Well, but I'm healthy now. Sorry. Nah, I don't like it.
Again, so give me your solution.
Oh, I don't know if I have a solution. I don't think...
Everybody wants it to change, but every time they come up with change, I don't like it.
Well, I just told you, I do like the executive order as far as that is concerned. There's things that I would tweak with that, but I do like five to play five. I do like the fact that you get the one transfer, no matter what, to play immediately. And then if you're a graduate...
You like the five to play five. This is five to play five.
But it's a limited amount of age. I don't like the age factor. I don't like the age factor because, again... It could keep you out an illness can keep you out a couple of years. Who knows?
We don't need grown men playing college sports.
Wait till all these dudes when they bring the draft back and they have to go over and fight in the Iranian war and then they want to come back and play.
Well, actually, it said military service is one of the exceptions. There you go. So problem eliminated. I mean, again, I don't know why we not want grown men at 27 years old playing college basketball.
Like you said, it's a professional sport now. Who cares that they're 26 and 27 playing college ball?
The transactions are professional, just like professionals.
Everything's professional about it now.
The players don't need to be grown men like professionals, but the transactional signing of players is much like the professionals. I mean, you're signing. It's a free agent. It's a wave of free agents every single year. And so...
Yeah.
I don't, with like a Michael Malone, I don't think he's going to be like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to recruit players. Like he's signing them to contracts. That's all you're doing. You're negotiating a term of amount of money and you're signing them to said deal. The speaking of coaching, and of course he got the North Carolina job, Billy Donovan, not now obviously in the running for the Bulls are a weird situation. You had Michael Reinsdorf coming out as they do their GM search after getting rid of the front office, which was a smart move getting rid of the front office because that is a train wreck. But comes out and says that their candidates for GM must be sold on Billy Donovan as the coach. That's a weird way to do a GM search.
It's very weird.
Like, listen, and there's a chance Billy Donovan could tell them when he has his postseason meeting, he's not interested in being the coach anymore, and he could just leave. I don't know. But if Billy Donovan tells him he's interested in being the coach, then they're only hiring a GM who is sold that Billy Donovan should be the head coach. If you're hiring a GM of your franchise to run your franchise, they should have the ability to hire the coach they want. And if they don't want Billy Donovan, they should have that ability. If you believe that guy is the guy to run your franchise, let him run your franchise.
Absolutely agree.
Like, you can run the franchise except for the head coach. Because once you've done that, you can't hire that guy because now he never has power to fire the head coach. And the head coach knows he has no power to fire me. He was made to take me when he got the job.
This explains why the Bulls are in the state that they're in.
It is. Like, it's just, I'm like, Billy Donovan then just act like free for all. Like, The only guy who will ever fire me is the owner, and he loves me, so it doesn't matter what I do. Like, I did, that is just a weird way to go. Like, I would assume that would eliminate. Not even there would be GM candidates who would be like, yeah, I like Billy Donovan, I'm fine with Billy Donovan. I don't want to go to a place where that's the way they want me to do it. Like, they're telling me I have to like this head coach.
Oh, yeah.
That would be – no, I'm not going to work for a franchise that does things that way.
All right. Billy Donovan, 11 seasons, Oklahoma City, and then the Bulls. His overall record is 467 and 411, 532 winning percentage. In the playoffs, he's 19 and 27. Did lead – teams to the playoffs in his first five seasons with Oklahoma City. Of course, he was a great college coach, two national championships back-to-back in Florida. Those numbers are not eye-popping. What is the infatuation with Billy Donovan? Somebody explain that to me.
I really don't know, but I look at the Bulls' end of that resume and the management that he had with that.
Yeah.
It pretty much par for the course with that. Now, with Oklahoma City, he had a situation where he had Durant leave and after they lost the seven-game series 10 years ago to Golden State, and then he was first-round exits when it was Russ, Paul George, and that
right.
crew like that.
Right.
And then they moved away and they went in a different direction, but the Bulls just haven't probably failed him.
I mean, he's a solid coach, but he's not.
I hold nothing with the Bulls against the
Bulls. I'll tell you, GM will probably take the job. Nico! Give Nico the job!
He's actually been surfacing. I forgot which team that they were saying that he probably will be with. It may have been the Bulls.
I love Billy Donovan. I would never want to fire Billy Donovan. Let's hire Nico.
Yeah, I mean, I think Billy Donovan's a good coach. I don't think he's like, I don't, again, I wouldn't. If I was the owner of a franchise, I wouldn't be like, we're absolutely keeping him and we will only get GM candidates who will keep him. Like, I'm not dying over Billy Donovan. Like, I'm not eliminating candidates for my GM to run my franchise over Billy Donovan.
Because you can't do your job fully if you are limited in what you can do overall. If you can't hire and fire the head coach, then it makes no sense.
Victor Wembanyama doubtful for tonight's game against Portland. However, they do believe he will be able to play at least 20 minutes in one more game this season to become eligible for postseason
awards. Of course.
He has got the...
Funny how it works out that way.
...bruised rib that he got the other night and still needs one more game to get there. Otherwise, we would be no Cade, no Wemby.
Jokic.
No Luka. No Anthony Edwards.
Is Jokic in?
As long as he plays the rest of the way.
He plays the rest of the way.
He can miss.
And that includes tonight, as the Grizzlies tonight. Will take on the Denver Nuggets tonight. Real quick, we got less than a minute. What's the intrigue this week as far as the playoffs are concerned? What are we looking at? As far as seeding battles going on, we know the 16 teams. Well, we know all 20 teams that will be in the postseason.
We'll probably say let's look at where... what play-in matchups we'll get next week, since they will get that first.
There's still a couple in the East, though, battling to be in the playoff or the play-in, right? Right.
The East, again, East 5 through, you go, I mean, I guess more 6 through 9 is a game and a half.
So there you go.
Again, and for Grizzlies fans, that includes Orlando, where they end up is big, because that's going to be the draft pick in all likelihood they end up with as the second one. And then the West, you've got the Denver, Lakers, Rockets for 3, 4, 5. They're all separated by one game.
All right, something to keep an eye on. That'll do it for us today. I want to thank DeMichael Cole, Jerry Palm for joining us on the program. We're back tomorrow. We'll be talking plenty of Grizzlies. We'll talk Natty and Major League Baseball with Kerry Miller at 8:25. Wolo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody. We'll be right back.
broadcast.